Meet
BT.
What are we fighting over today?
We've got a pair of concert tickets. Jason Aldean at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Saturday, August 24th. Special guest Kane Brown will be along with him. For more information and to get your tickets, go to 101ESPN.com.
When does that meet? When is that one?
August 24th.
All right. Think any of them got any innings in them?
We could use Kane Brown right now.
Sounds like a
lefty reliever.
Sounds like a guy, right?
Yeah, he does.
For sure.
You guys are going to be pumped about this fight. It's a themed fight about all of the moves the Cardinals made today. So,
yeah, it's going to be great.
But there's four questions.
Yeah, how's that possible? Well, Cingrani, Jerko.
All right, let's just get to it. We didn't do anything.
What do you say, BT?
We didn't do anything at all.
Don't like it.
All right, let's bring in today's fighter. It's Scott. Scott, what's going on, man? How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. Overall, fine. Were you surprised or saddened that the Cardinals didn't do anything at the trade deadline?
You know, actually, they got rid of the pitcher technically, right? Jerko did pitch for us, and he looked pretty good. So.
I said the exact same thing last segment, but nobody heard
okay.
it. Yeah. I said, yeah, you're trying to acquire pitching, and you traded away a pitcher.
And that's all right. We got to have faith. It's like we did in the Blues, right? Just let it go and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly what we were thinking.
All right, Scott, you ready to take on Megamind?
I am. Bring it on.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who did the Cardinals send to the Padres for Jed Jerko in 2015? Was it Mark Reynolds, Peter Borges, or John Jay?
Boy, let's go Reynolds.
Question number two, Zach Greinke traded to the Astros today. What team did the Royals trade Greinke to in 2010? Was it the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, or the Brewers?
Oh, boy. It's either the Dodgers or Diamondbacks. Let's go to the D-backs.
All right, Scott. Question number three. The Cardinals are still paying a portion of Mike Leake's contract. How much will the team pay of that this season? Is it $3 million, $5 million, or $8
million? Oh, boy.
That's a toughie.
Let's go $3 million.
And question number four. The Astros are on pace to win 103 games this season. It would be the team's fourth 100-win season. Besides A.J. Hinch, who was the only Astros manager with a 100-win campaign? Was it Larry Durker, Phil Garner, or Terry Collins?
Collins.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Scotty, how are we feeling?
Really, really bad, actually. But
oh,
you never know. I mean,
well, you fit right in.
Hopefully, I didn't go over, but we'll see what Randy's got.
Yeah, you never know. And honestly, tis the season, apparently. Yeah, it's such a mixed emotion day for me right now, Scott, due to the fact that the Cardinals are in first place, yet I feel sad. I don't get it. Ronch, how do we
handle it? I do understand it because, you know, there's still a long way to go. I mean, they're in a good spot right now.
It's a great spot. It's the best spot you could be in.
You got
first place.
You got to hold it for 2 months.
Yeah.
I think that's where everybody's a little
all right.
upset
hey,
today.
Hey, Randy, say hi to Scott.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, Randy. How are you? I need you to be really bad today.
I'll work on being really bad. I don't want to have our whole town be bad at what they're doing.
So. What was that?
What?
What was that?
Right
there, that comment. What was that?
Unnecessary.
First place, Randy.
First place Cardinals.
First place Cardinals.
Love them.
Who
Yay.
Can take that away?
Cubs.
The Cubs, actually. Technically, soon. But not right now.
No.
Not right this second. All right, Randy, you ready for this?
Ready.
What the hell was that? Randy, who did the Cardinals send to the Padres for Jed Jerko in 2015?
The Federalist, Yanye. Who's now a member of the Royals or White Sox? White Sox.
Sox. Yeah, because he was going to help him sign Machado.
That's true, yeah.
How'd that work out?
Not great.
Not great.
Question didn't two. Get him either.
That's a segment, by the way. We should talk about other teams' sadness at some point.
Good idea.
Question two.
Yes, sir.
I don't think you want to put yourself in line with the White Sox right now. Zach Greinke traded to the Astros today. What team did the Royals trade him to in 2010?
The Brew Crew. I think that was the big Lorenzo Cain deal originally. Actually, I don't remember who else was in there, but that wound up being a pretty good trade, actually, for Kansas City under the circumstances. It was Milwaukee.
Do you want the details?
Sure.
Cain, Alcides Escobar, Jeremy Jeffress, and Jake Odorizzi.
That's pretty good.
Pretty decent. Question number three, Randy. The Cardinals are still paying some of Mike Leake's contract.
Oh, my God.
How much will the team pay this season?
I'm going to go with $5.5 million.
All right. Question number four. The Astros are on pace to win 103 games this season. It would be the team's fourth 100-win season. Besides A.J. Hinch, who was the only Astros manager with a 100-win campaign?
Okay, because I looked this up over the weekend. When Randy Johnson got traded there in 98, they won 102 games. So now I just have to figure out who the manager was.
Use that photographic.
I think it was Larry Durker. I'll go with Larry Durker.
We've got a winner. Hey, Scott, if none of Randy's answers sounded familiar to you, that's because he got him right. John Jay was who the Cardinals sent to the Padres for Jed Jerko. It is the Brewers that Zach Greinke was traded to in 2010. $5 million. That's what the Cardinals are paying for Mike Leake right now. And Larry Durker in 1998 is the only Astros manager besides A.J. Hinch to have a 100-win season. Scott, man, great talking to you. Thanks for playing and try again.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. Scott with us on 101 ESPN, where it's 410. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. BT, I just hit the button.
Oh, yeah, what do you got?
Nothing.
Actually, a couple of things did happen.
Confirmed. Braves taking on all of Melanson's remaining salary, $18 million. In the deal that the Cubs sent Carl Edwards away, they're getting lefty Brad Wick back in exchange. And both 10th inning pitchers for the Cubs in the 2016 World Series have been traded this month, Montgomery and now CJ.
CJ's gone. Did you mention Dan Straley going to the Phillies?
How about that?
Keep pressing the button, boys. What do we got?
Yeah, maybe the deadline wasn't really the deadline.
It might just be a suggestion.
And Jason Stark reporting that he asked a baseball official how close to the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline the Greinke deal went down, and the reply was a couple of seconds was how close it was.
That's got to be very fun, by the way, slash nerve-wracking, to like – to pull the trigger like right then, like this is it. Either you're doing it or you're not. Forget it. Fine, I'll do it. Like that's got to be such a cool feeling.
Ned Coletti said it was the best.
That's awesome.
The best. Why are teams not making these moves? Could it be because the general managers feel a great sense of security because they're talking about the future with their owners? That's next on 101 ESPN. Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Diamondbacks will pay $24 million of Zach Greinke's remaining contract. Houston will assume the remaining $53 million over the next two plus years of that deal. So 24 from Arizona to Houston. Remember, there used to be a rule in baseball that for any transaction that was over like $1 million, you had to go to the commissioner's office and the commissioner had to approve it. And now they just make these deals. It doesn't matter. Just, yeah, we'll take on $24 million. No problem at all.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Done.
It's amazing.
Rubber stamp it.
One of the reasons given for the lack of movement, and trust us when we say the Cardinals weren't the only team that had needs that didn't fill them today, but there's a belief that the general managers now are telling their ownership, look, I am going to bring you an inexpensive team that'll have a chance to win in the next 3 or 4 years. And there are people, especially veteran, out-of-work general managers, that think there's no way these GMs will get fired because of the approach that they take, that they say, Hey, it's not about this year. We're building for 3, 4, 5 years down the road with a bunch of prospects, just like Houston and Chicago did, and the owners are buying that. Do you buy that thought process?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I do, certainly. Look, that's how your organization should be built. It should be built by drafting and developing and then being able to sprinkle in some other free agents. Maybe some of them are high-priced. I love the model of getting guys in your organization, getting them better, getting them to the big leagues, and then being able to retain those guys. Like, I really like that business model, but I don't think that there's just one way to do something. I don't think that's okay, this is what we do. We acquire a lot of talent. Everybody knows this. All of the chips that you have, all of the pieces, whether they're your top 20 prospects or top five, or you're just looking at your whole system, not everybody is going to help you at the big league level. What these are pieces of the puzzle. And you're trying to put it together, and you're trying to figure it out, and that's where the trade deadline comes in. I understand valuing your talent, and I also understand if you are in talks with a team who is just straight up trying to fleece you. I am totally okay with walking away and saying, nah, I'm good. Like, screw you. I'm not going to give you four of my top prospects for, you know, a middling starter. I get that aspect of it, too. But I do believe that teams right now, a lot of teams, are too cautious when they approach their guys, their people, and looking towards the future.
They absolutely do, and it's for a number of different reasons. One of them is they feel like they can sometimes get the same production out of a guy who costs a fraction of what a free agent would cost, of somebody who's proven, and a lot of times that doesn't work out. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times it does not. And then you have teams like what the Astros have done today. And we mentioned the Greinke deal and how much money he's got coming to him. Some of that's getting picked up. But he's still got about $193 million left on his deal over the next several years. What they have done is they have drafted really well. They've got a lot of good young talent. But then they go and get the veteran talent that's going to help them when it matters. So there are a number of ways to do it. You can look at the Tampa Bay Rays, for an example, and what they were over the last decade or so. That's a team that's been good a lot. And, you know, they've got a World Series year in there. They don't win it, but they've been there.
Cardinal fans would not be happy with what the Rays have accomplished.
Today?
In the last 10 years?
For sure. Totally agree with that.
Oh, like if that's all they've done. But yeah. I'm talking about a team with limited payroll. You know, a team that just does not spend. And they've accomplished a lot with doing that and not going out and getting the big free agent. But they haven't gone all the way. So there are a number of ways to do it. But I think the way Tampa has done it, they haven't gone hard enough. The Pittsburgh Pirates didn't go hard enough for a long time when they had the young talent. When McCutchen was coming up, mm-hmm. you know, around those days, they didn't do enough to supplement that. So there are multiple pieces to the puzzle in making a team that consistently wins. Drafting, getting the young talent is part of it, but supplementing it with good players who might cost you some money is the other part.
Well, and this is one of the frustrations about today for the Cardinals, because this is that rare opportunity where you have your kids who are either in or moving into their prime. I think we would all agree that Colton Wong is in his prime and that Jose Martinez is in his prime and Goldie obviously is in his prime and DeJong is moving into his prime and Yachty and Weeders are probably past theirs. And then you look at the pitchers, Wainwright clearly is on the other side. He's playing the back nine, but you have some young pitchers that are ascending. This was the perfect opportunity to add that final piece to the puzzle. And the fact that they couldn't or wouldn't is frustrating and should be frustrating.
Well, yeah, it is frustrating.
Because it's a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. And because the Dodgers didn't do anything, all bets are off in the National League.
They got a little bit of relief help today.
But they needed major relief help.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess you do what you can do, right? I mean, you've got to do something. It's not about getting the exact thing that you need or the perfect addition, but it's about improving wherever you can. And if you look at every team, with the exception of the Yankees, everybody who's in the race right now got better today. Everybody. Except for the Cardinals.
And the Yankees, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I said earlier, I'd be mad if I were a Dodgers fan that you weren't able to do more. You've been there. You do have pieces. You do have prospects, and you certainly do have financial flexibility to do stuff. But I think that there's a big difference recently and certainly not talking about history and championships because you know where the Cardinals stand there, but they have been, the Dodgers, have been the class of the West. Have they won it like 7 years in a
row?
Been rattling them off over there in the division, and things have flipped drastically for the Cardinals the last couple of years, and right now the Cardinals entered a trade deadline in first place. Like, that is as good of a position as you can be in to step on somebody's throat and give yourself a chance. So, I don't know. That doesn't mean you can't win a World Series. You're in first place. Like, right now, no moves being made, or, I'm sorry, Zach Roscup and an injured Tony Cegrani.
And Adalberto Mejia.
And a waiver pickup of Adalberto Mejia. But we'll just call it relatively no impact moves, okay? We'll just go with that. Doesn't mean you can't win a World Series. It doesn't mean that you can't go off and play great baseball. And all the guys that have been doing great things here recently can't pick it up and continue to be great. And it doesn't mean you won't get more out of the starters that you have. It just means that you didn't give yourself a better chance to go do those things. And that's where the frustration comes.
And I can't really, in good conscience, compare what the Dodgers and the Yankees are compared to what the Cardinals are. The Yankees are almost 30 games over 500. The Dodgers are going to run away with their division, too. Those two teams are going to the playoffs. New York is 7.5 games up in the division, and if they don't, by some miracle, they lose that division, they're still going to go as a wild card. That team is a playoff team, definitely. And same thing can be said about the Dodgers. So I don't like comparing what the Cardinals did or did not do today compared to what the Dodgers and the Yankees did or did not do, because they're not in the same universe.
Let's get back to the original statement here. I look at the list of GMs in baseball right now, and I agree with the assessment that there probably is not a general manager, let me put it this way, an Ivy League general manager that is going to get whacked. Maybe Seattle will get Jerry DePoto, but otherwise, I think all of the other guys are safe in large part because of the fact that they can go to their owner and say either I'm winning right now or I built things up so that we can win 2-3 years down the road.
Well, I think that statement is true, but also the fact that GMs and POBOs, they don't just make moves just to make – they make moves because the people above them are telling them that this is what you can cannot do.
That
also
is right.
So these are top-to-bottom things. When you look at each organization, what you're allowed to do, what not, mm-hmm. certainly they're going to trust the baseball people, the operations, the boots on the ground. But sometimes upstairs says, nah,
But here's my point. Because Bill DeWitt is an unusual owner then in that he knows a lot about baseball. He knows a lot about what's going on. In many outposts, a general manager or a POBO, if the team has a losing record, can say, hey, I'm building the system, and we're going to be really good in 3 years. If you are – Cashman is a different animal. But if you were a team today that didn't get that starting pitcher, Minnesota, Thad Levine, can go to his owner and say, I just didn't want to overpay because we've got these prospects that are going to be great for you in 3 years.
Which you can only do that for so long, because at some point those prospects better come up and start helping for real. Otherwise, you will lose your job.
So I just wonder, and just focusing on the Cardinals yet again, because that's what we do here. Do you think that the Cardinals not making the moves and retaining the prospects that they've retained can say that? It's like, oh, well, we're going to be really good in 3 years. You just talked about the prime of some of these players and, you know, guys getting on the back end of some of these contracts. Now, everybody hopes that Nolan Gorman's going to be great and Dylan Carlson's going to be great. But I feel like your window's kind of here. Your window's now.
Agreed.
I'm with you.
With the ball club.
Yep.
Not to say it can't get better and better and these guys can't be stars in the league, but you got a window. And you got an opportunity with the Cubs.
And you keep telling us about all these prospects. Well, I know you've traded some for Ozuna and some for Goldschmidt, but you've got three third basemen that are in your top seven prospects. You can't play them all, so at some point you're going to have to move those guys on either to first base or the outfield.
Yeah, they'll shift to corners.
Yeah, well, they're moving to first base in the next 4 years, right?
No.
So we'll see.
And
5 years, I guess, for Goldie.
And you traded for Marcell Ozuna a couple of years ago. You acquired Paul Goldschmidt in his 30s. How many years of his 30s are you planning? I know they extended him. But how many years of his 30s are they planning to wait? Well, it's not going to be 2019. It's going to be 2020. We're really going to go hard. And then next year say, well, actually 2021, Goldschmidt's not getting any younger either. You want to take advantage while you have both of them.
And it's another point you brought up about maybe it's 2020 or 2021. It's brought up plenty on Twitter today and certainly recently after the no moves is the Cardinals pretty much stated that, no, it's for 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, we're doing it. We're making a run. We're going for it. You did in the offseason, but it's a long season. You have lots of opportunities.
Today, I don't see how you can look at today as anything other than a disappointment.
It's a huge disappointment, because especially compared to what everybody else did. Mm-hmm.
Coming up, more from you in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Use the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app and tell us what you're thinking on this Cardinal day of no trade deadline moves. That's right, a four-hour show about something that did not happen.
We can do it.
We can keep it going on 101 ESPN.
Gosh.
Steve on 101 ESPN using the mic drop feature. How about that?
We appreciate the mic drop. I like passion.
The emotion
Damn.
Is great.
Means you care,
yes.
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure, you're a little upset. And a lot of, fine, you're a lot upset. Well,
oh. Yeah. That's the only word that works right
There's
now.
There's a lot of them going around the text line. Shout out to Mike Ryder for bleeping all these things. A lot going on here today.
Yeah, there sure is. And we will hear a few more of your mic drops here on 101 ESPN. Let's start with Anthony.
What in the hell is the Cardinals front office doing? The only explanation for them not going out and getting a fifth starter is that they had an intense rager and slept through the day. Are you kidding me? They could not go out and get anyone. As a fifth starter, are you kidding me?
Well, a couple of fifth starter types got moved in the last 24 hours. Yeah. Well, the number one starter got moved in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened too. To me, that's just the biggest one. We've been harping on this all day, but I didn't need, while I would have loved, the Cardinals to go land Zach Greinke. Like, it didn't need that. What you needed was a little bit more certainty within the rotation as far as just overall innings go. The goal down the stretch is to keep one of your biggest strengths as a ball club a strength, and that's your bullpen. But if you're having to deploy them and utilize them too often and too early into ball games, it's going to be hard to believe that they can withstand that.
I don't know. Tony Cingrani's fresh.
Off the slab.
He's not dead.
Not yet.
He will be.
Yeah. Let's go to Jay on 101 ESPN.
I don't know why everyone's so upset about the Cardinals not making a deal. I didn't expect them to. I didn't think they would. So what's there to be upset about? Remember, their goal, the front office's goal, is a 90-win season. Not the playoffs. The goal is a 90-win season, and they think they have a 90-win ball club.
That's incorrect, by the way, that their goal is a 90-win season. Their goal is the playoffs. But I will say, to Jay not being surprised, I was, damn it. I did expect a move to happen.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Now, I will half agree with him. I don't think their goal is 90 wins, but I think there's a disparity between what they want or they say they want and how far they're willing to go to make it happen. And unfortunately, that gap leads us to where we are now.
Yeah.
That's not to say they can't actually go to the playoffs this year. We're conceding that. They could. They're in first place now. This could happen for another 2 months. The problem is there's still another 2 months, and these other teams that we're talking about are not far behind you.
Let's get to Alan.
Yo, it's Alan. I tell you what happened today. This is what happened today. Mo fell asleep. Mo fell asleep on trade deadline. Fell asleep. Forgot to answer his calls. Forgot to make any phone calls. Didn't know what was going on. So Gersh just traded off Jerko. Had to do something.
You know, we have on our show every once in a while, because Meat does a great job of getting guests from all over the country. Sometimes we have issues when it comes to time zones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I thought you said 4 o'clock West Coast.
Oh,
that might
no.
be.
Thought I had a tad bit more time.
Maybe they were having a little press conference at 4 o'clock, and then they thought, okay, well, we can get back in there and we'll have an hour to.
Yeah, we just want to talk to everybody really quick. Be like, hey, here's where we're at right now. But you know what? We're getting back to the. Oh my God, it's over? No.
It's like waking up late for a test. You ever do that?
I never did.
No, I think I have actually. Have I told you I still have a recurring nightmare about a math class in college that I still don't know if I passed to this day. I still have a dream that I'm freaking out. I'm late to this class because it was an early one, and I used to skip it quite a bit because I had weight training at like 5:30 in the morning, and this class was at 8, so I didn't go that often. I still don't know if I passed this class, and I still have the dream of showing up to see my test score. I don't know though if I passed this class.
Man, I hope you don't get arrested.
For what?
Yeah, if you miss a class this many years later, they'll still come after you.
You think so? The truancy officers are going to come get me?
They'll find
I mean, things
you.
Are strict in Utah, but
oh, yeah, they'll
know.
Find you. You get more than community service.
Hello, Dominic.
Here's what needs to happen due to Mozeliak and his incompetence. We need to stop going to games. We need to stop supporting this team out loud. We can quietly support them, but we need to show our protest until someone takes Mozeliak out of our organization. I am sick and tired of him.
I'm losing it. You don't go. I'll take the green seats for Cards Cubs.
That's passion right there again. We
they
love
bring
the
you food and drinks, don't they?
Yeah. Team's in first place. How are you going to disconnect? I get being upset. If you've listened to the entire show, I'm upset. I'm disappointed. I'm shocked that there wasn't more happening. Team's in first place. You're going to just not watch them. You're not going to show up. You're not going to go. You don't want to be a part of it. You just want to jump back in when they have a parade and be like, I was in the whole time. Everything's cool.
I just want the free food and booze.
You know what? All-inclusive is the way to go.
There's nothing
wrong
with it.
If you can swing it. Now, I've never sat in the green seats before, but they look like a party.
Guys, I put this shirt on, by the way, before the deadline today.
I've
been wearing it all day, this Cardinal shirt that I'm wearing today.
Out of hope?
Yep.
Trying to spur something to happen?
Yep. Hope and trust.
I have my bird's hat on right now.
Maybe that's something that you could do. If you want to show less support for the organization, is just not wear your Cardinal gear or not use your Cardinal golf bag until they make the playoffs.
Randy,
again.
They're in first place.
You should.
Well, if they make the playoffs.
Do you have a Cardinals golf bag too?
No.
Okay. Do you know if there's ever been a time somebody's worn a paper bag on their head to Bush?
I don't believe they have.
I don't think so either. You could be a trailblazer.
Well, as bad as John Mozeliak is, his franchise has never had a, since he's been in charge, they've never had a losing season. That's right.
That is right. Good. Yeah, he knows. Don't act like that's like asking Albert about his numbers. Well, I don't know. You know.
There is good news, though. Alberto Mejia is en route to St. Louis.
Oh, good.
Wonder
what number he's going to wear. Do we know?
No.
Adalberto.
What if he's nasty? What if Adalberto comes out and just strikes out the world, just sliders him to death? It's like, holy cow, they got the best 1-2 punch as far as lefties in the league. Then are we going to get excited? Are we going to be pumped up? Say, screw you, Will Smith. You stay there in San Francisco or you're not going to be in the playoffs.
That'd be really
no, is the answer.
Awesome. Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, he could be available tonight, apparently. So
is he driving in from Anaheim?
Probably. Just a cross-country trip.
Hey, by the way, did you guys hear, who was it that was in the, it was Rourke, Tanner Rourke, was in an Arby's parking lot when you heard about his being traded. He had a hankering for a beef and cheddar and some curly fries, and so they called him while he was in the parking lot, and that's how he found out he was getting traded.
And he could have been here doing the same thing in a Lion's Choice parking lot.
Yeah, but we have Arby's too.
Yeah, whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
Totally in, either way.
Yeah.
Do we know if he got the sandwich? Did he get the meal he wanted?
Yeah.
Do you think he ate it? Or do you think he got so excited?
I feel like there's a lot of emotions going on there.
That he probably forgot.
How would you approach that, all right? So you're already a big leaguer. You're making the money that you're making. Like, life is good.
$12 million this year.
Anyhow. Like, you're totally fine.
Yeah.
But do you have, like, a celebratory, like, extra beef and cheddar? Or do you, like, not have an appetite at all because you have to think through logistics of how you're going to get to Oakland?
Celebratory.
I think so, too.
Brad, I'm at least eating that sandwich.
I'm eating that sandwich, too, and I'm probably getting a large curly fry because I love those things.
Let's get to Adam on 101 ESPN.
An injured left-handed reliever. You got to be freaking kidding me. That's all I got to say. What else can you say?
And a 19-year-old prospect.
Yeah. Cardinal tradition is getting injured left-handed relievers.
And getting them to sign back with you on the cheap. You get them in here, you give them a taste of St. Louis, and all of a sudden Tony Cingrani's like, hey, I know I didn't throw a pitch for you guys or really even report, but I like it here.
Zach Duke, Ricardo Rincon, Scott Radinsky. We have a lot of those guys. St. Louis, we know our injured left-handed relievers.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
Let's get to Brandon as well on 101 ESPN.
They've got Ozuna, Molina, Carpenter, and possibly Reyes and Gomber coming back later this year. That's like five trades that they're going to make after the deadline. And, you know, if us St. Louis fans just can't get by with that and being happy with that, then maybe we just, you know, we don't deserve to have the Cardinals.
Thank you, Brandon.
See,
Brandon
there you go.
Gets it.
There you go.
BT, there you go. You like those five trades?
I dig all those five trades. So, I'm into all of them.
Okay. You know what? We should get to Mike as well.
The only move I want to hear about is not going to come today. It's going to come in October, November. And hopefully that's Bill DeWitt telling everybody he's stepping away from making baseball decisions and bringing in the best and brightest and completely revamping the entire organization. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. I hope they win the World Series, and 2 weeks later, they blow the whole thing up.
Why would you do that?
I don't think he meant
that doesn't make much sense.
What the hell logic is that?
Yeah.
Oh, keep doing what you're doing, then you get what you get, but you win the World Series, and you blow it up? Yeah, I agree with Mo on that one.
I don't think he meant explosives.
Speaking of explosives, Mike Ryder finally is
he
back
feeling
to
good?
Normal from
That's
eating
good.
Street meat in Mexico.
Yeah. Careful, buddy.
Yeah. He cool.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, a couple of weeks ago, Greg Amzinger told us the trade deadline would be all about teams preparing for the future. And he was right. That's next on 101 ESPN. Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, certainly saw that coming, especially with the Mets and the Reds, the two of the top starting pitchers that were moved at this deadline, along with Zach Greinke, wind up going to those two teams. Marcus Stroman to the Mets on Sunday, and then last night Trevor Bauer goes from Cleveland to the Reds, and Cleveland did really well in trading Trevor Bauer. They get Kluber back. They're going to have a pretty good starting rotation, and they added a lot, but the Reds have set themselves up to have a heck of a rotation. And right now, when you look at the Mets rotation with Noah Syndergaard and DeGrom at the top, and then you add Stroman and you've still got Steven Matz there, they've got a pretty good group too.
Yeah, and with that one specifically, it just didn't look like they had to give up a ton relatively to get Stroman. So on that end of it, I guess it makes sense if you are trying to build towards the future. I'm impressed that the Indians were able to do exactly what every pundit out there said they needed to do. If you are going to trade off, you better be able to get yourself big league pieces that can help you win right now in a division where you are just nipping at the heels of the Twins, and I think that you're more talented than the Twins.
They are.
And they're able to do that. They bring in Framil Reyes, who drops bombs, Yasiel Puig. We know that he can be an impact maker as well. So it ends up being a good deal for them. And as Bob Nightingale said before, if, in fact, Bauer were traded, Terry Francona would likely help him pack. So it worked out really well for all of the clubs. And for Bauer, yeah, he's quirky, and he always has been. This isn't just like he threw the ball over the fence and all of a sudden people are like, oh, that's kind of a weird cat. No, he's always been the guy. He marches to the beat of his own drum. The Reds don't care. The Reds are getting a guy. They know he's going to sign nothing but one-year deals. He'll go over there, hopefully have an impact down the stretch. You'll go to arbitration with him. You'll fight it out over a number, and you'll see what next year looks like. And guess what? If things are trending in a bad direction, you flip him again, and you get prospects.
You just traded Yasiel Puig for him. You know, quirky.
That's what I was going to say. They're losing an interesting guy, and they're getting another one in return. Now, I think they got what they needed. They certainly needed more pop. They got that pop in their lineup. But, man, I really loved, for them anyway, the idea of having that rotation. You know, you have a healthy Kluber. You have him in it. If you want to use Plesac, use Plesac.
But you've got Shane Bieber, who's pitching great.
Yes, I mean,
you get Carrasco back later.
I mean, look at that pitching. And that's the kind of thing in the playoffs that's really going to move the needle. So
and Clevinger, too.
Clevinger. Yeah, I mean, look at him. They're stacked and they're in really good shape. So even without him, I still think they're in good shape. But I loved the idea of being able to have him available too, because he's got postseason. You know, he's got some experience there. As long as he doesn't slice his fingers off, he will
one
be able
time,
to pitch.
By the way, one time you do that in a freak drone incident, everybody keeps bringing it up. It's like having a misquote during a
like
interview.
Kicking a puppy.
No, it's not
like when you
doing
told
it.
Everybody you kicked a dog.
No, I didn't. I didn't say I kicked a dog again. What had happened was I was asked, where do you go from here? And I said the slang that all the kids were saying back in the day, which was, I don't know, go find a puppy to kick. Mm-hmm. And then people don't
let
you.
It's a simple mistake.
Here's what I'm saying is people make mistakes. Why do we have to keep bringing them up? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's now, all.
Look
I'm
at these
very sorry.
Random tangent.
Yeah. Look at yeah. these two non-contenders right now. For next year, Reds, Bauer, Castillo, Gray, Wood, and DeSclafani, if they keep all of those guys. The Mets, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Wheeler, Mats. That's tremendous depth. Those rotations right there make those teams contenders for 2020. And if they could get on a run, actually, and that's the kind of pitching that allows you to go on a run, they could even get back into the hunt this year, conceivably, in the last 2 months.
And even the Mets especially, you could probably trade some of that depth if you need it at the deadline. Or you could do it in the offseason, too, if you don't end up making a run.
I think the Mets will screw this up somehow.
They are absolutely going to screw it up.
I don't know why. It's also, you look at the strength of the division, and I still believe that the Nationals are more talented than you. And I think that they can go head-to-head with you as far as your pitching goes, or at least very, very close. I believe the Braves are crazy talented. It's going to be tough over there. But you know what? I will give credit where credit is due. Brody Van Wagenen is trying to build something. He's trying to win. And he wasn't scared to make another deal when it came to his organization. The first one has not looked good. Diaz looks lost. Robinson Cano has been awful. Okay, like, do you just pack up your stuff and go home? No, he said, all right, we're going to add. We've got a chance. We like our nucleus. I know that everybody is calling about Syndergaard. Everybody's calling about Wheeler. Everybody's calling about everybody. No, we're going to keep building. I like that. I respect it.
Yeah.
And could it be stupid and end up getting him fired? Oh, hell yeah.
Yes,
sure.
For sure. And that was it was such a weird hire in the first place, I think. So it'll be funny to see if this does not end up working out, or if it does end up working out, if another team ever tries to take that route and hiring a former agent to do that job. I don't know, potentially. It just seemed like a weird hire in the first place. But the Mets have been better set up than they have performed, I think, at least in the last few years. And some of it is because of rotation injuries they've had. But I think a lot of it is, I don't know if incompetence is the right word, but I think it's pretty close.
No doubt. Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com tweets, and this is interesting. Cardinals cast a wide net for starters, did not engage on Wheeler, for example. He said, I was not able to confirm that before, did moments ago. And other pitchers with more control, like Ray, not willing to part with Carlson and Gorman. So they didn't engage on talks for Wheeler or Ray, which I find really surprising.
There is a tweet from Mark Saxon that says the Cardinals did engage on Zach Wheeler, but the Mets' ask was Tyler O'Neill or Harrison Bader, and the Cards felt it wasn't worth it for 10 or 11 Wheeler starts. So who knows? I mean, that's the crazy part about all this. I think we're going to keep hearing stuff trickle in and out. But just that one specifically, okay? If, in fact, that were the thing, it were Zach Wheeler for the rest of the season for O'Neill or Bader, would you guys make that deal?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
If it's Bader.
I wouldn't do it.
I still think he's got promise, but again, we're talking about promise versus a known.
But Zach Wheeler's not even a known to me. I think that he's a guy that can dominate a game, and then he could get bounced after two. I don't feel like that's a known.
But he could also be better than what you have. I think that's where I'm standing. And if you believe in this team, if you believe in this team right now, especially in this division that hasn't been as good as we thought it was going to be, I don't know. I guess what you're comparing is your desire to go to the playoffs this year and go far if you get there. Now, he doesn't guarantee it,
I don't know if you're better if you give up, though. I know that Bader is in AAA right now, but I don't think that you're a better ball club necessarily if you give away what Tyler O'Neill could potentially do for you. And we'll just go with him since he's on the roster for Zach Wheeler.
But that's it. I mean, that's the debate you're having is, are we worried about potential or are we worried about right now?
It's still right now. Both of these are right now.
Yeah.
Both of these moves.
So... Yeah,
we can disagree on it. But.
You're losing out on the potential. So, and I completely understand where you're coming from, but you're losing out on the potential. For me, if we're worried about 2019 and think this team can make a run, then do something that might hurt later. You know, if you really think this team has a chance. If you don't, then you don't make those moves.
It is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, Reds players learned about Yasiel Puig's trade in a very interesting way last night. We'll tell you about it next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.